marches, signs, fists in the air. These are the sights and sounds of the protests that have broken out across the country. Less visible are the people behind these scenes, the logistical networks keeping protesters fed, hydrated, and safe. NPR's Noah Caldwell reports.
It's 93 degrees out and muggy. And some protesters here in D.C. have been going for a week already.
It's really hot. There's a global pandemic, but people don't care because this is a cause that we need to fight for because it's been going on for too long.
Ahmed Afifi lost his voice chanting and shouting down by the White House over the last few nights, but he doesn't plan on stopping.
It's hard, but like, we have to show up because the more we are, the stronger our message is.
So how does a movement like this sustain itself day after day after day? Well, just like a multinational corporation would, with supply chains. And one of those chains starts right here.
We've been taking donations for 2 hours, and already we're just completely full and, you know.
Britt Engels is running this supply station for an activist group called Freedom Fighters DC. Normally, this is the courtyard of a brewery. Now, it's a buzzing depot filled with provisions.
We've got half a dozen or more pallets full of water, snacks, you know, construction protective gear, hard hats, heat-resistant gloves, goggles.
Engels is choreographing a fast-paced dance here. First, strangers arrive with donations, which volunteers unload.
Doing great, thank you.
And sort into piles. Some of it's stored here at the brewery, and the rest gets loaded into other cars and whisked away. This is just a staging area, the first node in the supply chain. Next, it goes halfway across town to here.
We're at 9th and U. It's in the Shaw neighborhood of Washington, D.C.
This is Liz Cox. She won't say exactly where we are because the business that's donating space doesn't want attention from the police. She and a team are loading those supplies from the brewery into a U-Haul to distribute to protesters.
They're out there risking their lives on the front lines, resisting the police. So if they don't have to leave the front because they have what they need, then we have accomplished what we need to do.
A few of the volunteers take a break from loading up. I ask them how long they think this will last.
This is a lifetime thing.
Yeah, yeah, like, we're in this for life
yeah,
now.
Like, this is not just something like a hobby yeah. that you could drop. This is our community and we're here to stay.
They don't want to give their names, they say, because they're worried about police retaliation. Tonight, they're trying to stay nimble.
Wherever we know that there's going to be people, we're trying to get like a mobile unit out there as soon as possible to be there as long as possible.
It's dusk now. Time to get everything down to the final stop on the supply chain, the front line of the protest. Chris Barrientos and Jake Oster are loaded up with those supplies, and they're wandering the crowd to see who needs what.
So a lot of the things that we've been offering are just water, cold packs, food, electrolytes.
Thankfully, it's been easy today. We've seen, you know, a couple people get a couple scratches, but nothing serious. So I hope it stays that way, but, you know, we're ready if it doesn't.
They both expect to be out here well into the night.
Everyone's putting a little bit of peace, and they're making this work. There's people in the front, there's people in the back, there's people creating the signs, there's people doing, everyone has a role, and how good you are playing at your role is how good this protest is.
The crowd starts marching up the street. At every corner, there's someone handing out water or food or hand sanitizer.
Free water, help yourself.
The supply chains seem to be working. As we pass a Methodist church, bells ring out from the steeple. And out front, pastors give water to the protesters passing by. Noah Caldwell, NPR News, Washington.